walk. Don't take offense. I gotta
walk. I did.
Okay.
Thanks.
How are you?
I'm doing well.
Apparently somebody watched the show because I got a call.
That's probably the reaction of it.
Direct quote. I didn't see the quote. Hey, Mike,
can
you tell me where I'm at?
Where's
my name, approximately?
There's your name.
Okay, good.
He didn't look out front.
I didn't look.
Hey, that's the least I could do. I took one for the team the other night. I bought Marta Hazard a drink. I took one for the team.
Did I really?
It was either you or me, and I just decided I'd follow my sword and take one for the team.
I had a lot of people. I tell you.
She said, Zeke, I'm supposed to come here to have a drink, and there's Andrew Oli sitting there.
She's actually a lot of fun.
Oh, she is. She is one of the world's interesting characters.
She did not have all of that.
She has a lot to do. Just locked on to that.
No, she's got one way, 100 mile an hour.
Yeah.
Secretary, are we ready?
Mr. Secretary, are we ready? Okay.
Oh, yes.
Yeah.
Did you go?
I didn't.
Absolutely beautiful.
It may have been one of the most gorgeous days.
It was unbelievably gorgeous. I think it was our last day of the Secretary. Gorgeousness.
Is this something?
All right.
Is this mine?
We each got one. Good evening and welcome. I'd like to welcome all of you, particularly our younger members, the students fulfilling their requirements, but it's a good learning lesson for them, but also the other members of our audience here to hear what we're talking about and how it perhaps impacts you one way or another. We're going to move on expeditiously, because I understand there's another event taking place tonight at around 8:30 or so. 11:30 was that? Was that a late day or something?
That's right, 8:30.
So I'd like to call this meeting to order. This is the reorganization committee. This is our sixth meeting in 4 months. We have two more meetings after this. One is November 15th. The next one after that is December 13th, at which we will vote on a plan of reorganization. Our responsibility under a House bill that was passed last year is to look at how and in what way Eagle Township, Union Township, and the town of Zionsville might be reorganized and or consolidated to form one governmental entity. This process started in May when the town of Zionsville and Eagle Township Board and Union Township Boards passed resolutions to appoint three members each, making a total committee of nine individual citizens, taxpayers, residents, three from Eagle Township, three from Union Township, three from the town of Zionsville as a nine-member study committee. Our task, as we started meeting in the beginning of June, we said we were going to set a deadline of 6 months to do our work. We were going to meet at least monthly. This is our sixth meeting in the fourth month in 4 months, and we have two more to go. With that, I'd like to go ahead and move into the regular part of our meeting where we go to the secretary for minutes from the prior meeting. Mr. Andreoli.
Yes, I believe the minutes of the three prior meetings have now been posted. I noticed and did receive a correction that Jim Long has sent me today with regard to the one of the reports connected with health and safety as it related to the number of runs per day as opposed to on a per month, which was typographical. But other than that, the minutes have been posted and invite approval by members of the committee for any corrections or amendments.
And that is on all three sets of minutes?
Yes, all three sets have been posted. two had been handed out individually and then subsequently posted, and comments were made and corrections were made based upon those comments. The last set probably has been posted within the last 10 days or thereabouts, and I received one email suggesting corrections, so that, you know, they can be corrected or modified or amended as a member's pleasure would be. So move forward with those.
Any corrections or amendments to any of the three sets of minutes, the July 21st, August 25th, and September 19th? Do you want to consider those in a motion collectively?
Yes, I think we could do that. Since there aren't any corrections or amendments to either of them, you can consider those in one motion.
Mr. Chair, not to be anal, but Alan's spelled backwards. It's unscrambled, can be anal. The word ballot, B-A-L-L-O-T, there's a couple places in the 21st minutes.
July 21st?
August 25th minutes, the name change. And he's given great service to our subcommittee, and I feel bad if I didn't catch this. Tom Peterson's name is spelled with a T, P-E-T-E-R-S-O-N.
Very good. I'll make those.
And is that in the minutes of the 21st, the Peterson correction?
That is in the minutes of August 25th.
August 25th.
Paragraph 1 under governance committee.
Any other corrections? Is there a motion on the minutes?
So moved.
Second.
Okay, Mr. Tart moved it. Mr. Sheffield seconded it. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? It carried.
Mr. Chairman, we will yes. post the corrected suggested by Mr. Townsend, I'll notify Mr. Ulmer that all of those minutes have now been approved, and he can so designate those as approved on our website.
Okay, thank you. I will mention our website as well. It's the IBCCN, which is Indiana Boone County Community Network.org/reorg. And all the minutes are posted, as well as our committee structures are posted on that website. Anything else, Mr. Secretary?
No.
Okay. Can everybody hear us all right in the back? Good, good. I'd like to go into our committee reports. I sent you an email earlier describing the order in which we would take them tonight. Parks and Recreation?
Yeah.
Mr. Freeland.
The Parks and Recreation Subcommittee has been meeting actively for a number of weeks. We are getting pretty close to completing our recommendations. At this point, it's our recommendation from the consolidation that the Zionsville Parks and Recreation Board become the surviving board of the three entities in its current structure. The composite of the board is basically established through state statutes, and those statutes basically require four members selected by the town council. Those members should show some interest and knowledge within the parks and recreation, which is the case. In addition, not more than two members of this board may be affiliated with the parks board. One of those members could be a representative of the school board or designee of the school board. Second one could be a member of the governing body of the library, so basically a committee of a total of six. The terms of those boards currently are for 4 years, and they are staggered. So through a consolidation plan, we would envision that they would be, as members come off of the board, new members coming onto the board, potentially would be an opportunity for representatives from the currently the Eagle and the Union Township areas to be considered strongly for representation on the Parks Board. There is also an advisory council or special committees that exist. And those members are typically include, again, community representatives who show interest in the parks and recreation. This also would be a venue for representatives from Eagle and Union Township to participate up until the time that there's an election, and perhaps then there could be representation on the parks board from Eagle and Union Township. As a result of the consolidation of the the surviving board, then the existing Parks Board for Eagle and Union Township would be dissolved, and the assets of those entities would be absorbed or assigned to the Consolidated Parks Board. Maybe by intent or by desire, any of those assets might be used or directed towards opportunities within Eagle and Union Township. If there are funds that are available in those townships, that would be consolidated into the Master Parks Board, but that would be the decision of the committee. Currently, there is a staff that consists of a superintendent and three additional staff representatives. They currently support all of the parks within Zionsville. To my knowledge, we have no employees of Eagle and Union Township parks. Is that true to your knowledge?
That's correct.
Yeah. So at this time, we will continue to wrap up the recommendation, but our recommendation at this point is leaning towards a centralized parks board within the consolidated entity of Zionsville. And the structure, as far as the staffing, will be decided by that committee.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Freeland. Any questions from the committee?
Steve, do you expect any significant change in the budget?
No. As we looked at related cost, we would assume that the assignment of cemetery care would be provided over to the parks and that that could be managed or absorbed within the park system currently. So we don't see additional costs as a result of this.
Any other questions on the committee report? Thank you. Land use?
I think I'll do that. We did not meet since our last meeting, and we did give summary to Jay Parks of what our decision was. Our committee consists of myself, Jim Longus, down to my left, your right, and Jay Parks, who's not here as well. We have Mr. Boswick, who I think I saw back row, as well as Charles Anderson. So there's five of us in the subcommittee. We met and considered the various options. Our committee determined, first of all, answered Joe's question. He hadn't asked yet, but planning and land use is a budget-neutral decision. I mean, the funding of that's paid for by permitting, so it's not one that's going to have a cost impact, but it was the recommendation, which I apologize, I don't have it written somewhere here tonight, but I gave it at the last meeting. Was that that we look at taking the current Zionsville office and expanding it to include Boone or include Eagle and Union County, such that Eagle and Union County, except for that portion of Eagle Township, I should say, that's owned by Whitestown, would not be included for use of land use and make it one unit and pull out of Boone County area plan.
And what would be the decision structure in the planning area then?
Well, the nuances of what would be worked out would yet to settle upon, but certainly there would be a 7 or 9 person board, 5 or 7 person board consisting of, and Jim checked me on this, we didn't decide the actual makeup of it, but if we were talking about 7 people, as I recall, 4 of them were going to come from Zionsville, and the other 3 from the townships, was that?
I think it was 2 from each township. And
3 from Zionsville.
So 2 from each township and 3 from the town of Zionsville.
Correct.
Okay. Okay. Any question? Anything else on land use? Jim, are you on land use? Okay. Any questions? I'd like to go on to health and safety.
Okay.
Mr. Freeland.
The health and safety and welfare consists of myself and Joe Turk and Gene Thompson. This committee includes public safety, which involves fire and police, and then a variety of other services that are currently primarily being provided by the county or the township. First, I want to go through the fire protection. And our committee recognizes that there currently is a fire territory board that includes all of Eagle, Union, and Zionsville as it now exists. We do not envision that there would be any change of service for fire under a consolidation plan, primarily because the fire territory currently includes all of the in areas that are being consolidated. The one nuance is basically setting up the structure to support the annexed area out in Western Eagle Township, where currently that is under the responsibility of the township vis-a-vis the fire department. So we would envision that there would be an interlocal agreement between Whitestown and Zionsville to provide the services so they would remain uninterrupted. That is yet to be worked out or discussed. We see that as a logical arrangement. Under the consolidation of the three subdivisions, we would envision that Zionsville Fire Department would become a municipal department of the town of Zionsville, would be managed and supported by the town council, would also have a public safety committee as it does now. That safety board is basically now represented by members of the town council, three town council members, to my knowledge. The membership of that is statutorily defined, so that would have to be continue to be maintained under the statutes that are in place or if they're ever revised. Funding currently exists through the Fire Territory Board. The funding then would transition over to the town of Zionsville's town council, and that would all be supported by the decisions that need to be made relative to its department. Assets currently are, assets being buildings, equipment, etc., are currently owned by the prorated percentage of ownership relative to the net assessed value of where that property is. So that would all have to be, I guess, theoretically dismantled, and then all of the consolidated assets would be combined into the Zionsville Fire Department's department. Currently, the Zionsville Fire Department leadership will continue to stay in place and would report directly to the town of Zionsville. So we don't envision any major changes other than perhaps some interlocal agreements, and then obviously a departmental change to structure it under the town of Zionsville. We assume this would be budget neutral, so we don't anticipate additional costs as a result of this transition. Any questions?
I do. I do. When you, I assume that when you mention the town of Zionsville Council, you're talking about the reorganization.
I am talking about it under a new, okay. New and improved town council.
New and expanded.
New and expanded. Okay. I like that. Okay. Any more questions?
Yes. Ms. Essex.
It's my understanding that with a fire territory, that there's a different method of funding that gives the fire territory a little more ability to raise money than what the municipality can or the fire department. How would that change be? How would you deal with that change in tax money? Because we can, as a territory, we can raise a lot more money as a territory than a municipality can.
Correct.
That's why Zionsville became part of the fire territory, because they can no longer raise enough money to pay for the fire department.
Let me see if I can respond to that, Judith, because that is a subject we discussed in the Finance Committee meetings as well. The fact that the first 3 years of fire territory, there's an ability to raise more funds in order to provide for more buildings and equipment and so on. Under the reorganization law 1362 that we're working under, everything that we could have done before, we can do afterwards. So whether we continue that same funding mechanism through what used to be a fire territory but may no longer exist in it still exists in theory, or whether we somehow, as Mr. Bushman referred to from the audience in one of our last meetings, that since we're a new governmental entity, although we're a consolidated one, we are a new entity that didn't exist before, do we have that same capability that the fire territory does as relates to levies during the first 3 years? So we have looked at that issue, and you know, we feel comfortable that we're not giving up any levying authority, but it would be probably transferred. And in the same light, the same thing would occur as it relates to not needing a new fire territory with Union Township, since it would be part of the consolidated effort to begin with.
Okay. Yes, Kevin?
That funding, it's not a legacy, it's just a start, correct?
Three years.
I mean, in other words, so any benefit of that, which we would certainly seek to capitalize, doesn't have ongoing impact.
Uh-huh. So 3 years is all it is. Yes?
And the new fire station that Union Township's building, that would, those benefits, net assets, would transfer to Zionsville?
Yes, the question is about the new fire station that Union's building. One of the things under the current arrangements with fire protection in townships, whether it be Eagle Township, Union Township, or the town of Zionsville, is there always coming these different agreements as to who owns which ambulance or which fire station, how do you fund it, and what name you put it in, and so on and so forth. And of course, under a consolidated situation, you would have all those assets and all those liabilities and responsibilities in one place. I can't answer your specific question. Well, I might be able to later, but I'm not sure. But the Governance Committee, there's a certain provision in the bill that says that you may not transfer debt. And the Governance Committee is still researching that some, because of the fact that, you know, if you're transferring an asset, it's encumbered by some debt, you need to transfer the debt with it. You can't just transfer the asset and not transfer the debt. But in a consolidated situation, you know, we would envision that the fire station and any debt associated with it would be part of the larger Zionsville Fire Department.
And when you say budget neutral, is that your budget or my budget as a taxpayer?
That question relates to a dialogue that Mr. Turk and I have had on the Finance Committee standpoint of how different municipal government does its budgets and does its financing. Maybe Joe can respond to that a little bit.
I can answer part of it, Bill. When he says budget neutral, what he's saying is that the reorganization itself is not going to create any additional cost. That's what he's saying.
In other words, the three pieces added together become the three pieces added together, nothing greater from a number standpoint to start with.
We don't think that there's going to require more manpower, more trucks, other than what might have already been anticipated plan for fire protection with or without consolidation.
Can we move on to the next part?
And in that case, there are some increased costs.
Yes.
And they're already they're there. They're already in motion. But nothing we're doing with the reorganization to change that.
Move on to your police part.
Yep. Second phase of my report is public safety regarding the police department. Currently, as you know, the police department, they have coverage boundaries within the corporate limits of the town of Zionsville, of which they also do make runs outside of that limit on a as-needed basis. The proposed plan under the consolidation would take a look at those boundaries and redefine those boundaries based on certain criteria that I'll get to a little later in my report. But our thinking is to establish districts, if you will, one of those being either an urban or a town district, and a second district being more of a rural district. That those of you that live outside of Zionsville and kind of the countryside would appreciate a rural district being maintained as a rural district as it relates to police protection. Currently, your police protection outside of the Zionsville corporate limits is provided by the Sheriff's Department. We would envision that under the new consolidation that those boundaries, as are redefined based on criteria, the service would be provided by the Sheriff's Department outside of the corporate limits or the redefined boundary limits of the Zionsville Police Department. Again, based on those criteria, those lines could change from where they are now. Currently, as we have these criteria in the works, these are not by any means final, but these are just some of our thoughts. Criteria as to whether geography that's covered by the sheriff or is covered by the Zionsville Police would be determined on such things as perhaps density, residential density, and numbers of rooftops in a certain given area, be it a neighborhood or just the absolute count of houses in a certain area. Who maintains the streets? Is it done under the town of Zionsville, or is it done beyond out from the county? Where those boundaries are now, or where they would be in the future, wherever those police boundaries are, if you're serviced inside or outside of those boundaries, would be determined whether you're classified as urban or rural. New development, as it comes about, typically might be rural by its existence because it may be reaching into rural areas, but as that development starts to sell and create residents in those homes, there might be a classification when it's reached a certain threshold that it then becomes converted to a urban or a town classification. And there may be more criteria to be determined, but these are the things we thought would be some of the more obvious ones. I think that's the majority of my report.
Okay. Any questions?
If you look at the map of Zionsville and Eagle Township and Union Township in the back when you get a chance afterwards, you know, Zionsville is just like every other town or city in the state. It has these jagged sawtooth edges to it because of how development occurs or how annexations occur in fits and starts at different points in time. What we're trying to develop with this criteria is a way whereby you smooth the edges on that jaggedness, and people living on one side or the other side of those boundaries know what's occurring around them years before actually it changed. You know, in other words, it doesn't change overnight. You know when certain properties are being developed, you know when certain lands being surveyed and certain things are selling and so on and so forth. So you get this smoothing effect around the area so that whereas the new entity might be the new town of Zionsville, which is all of Eagle and Union Township, you don't end up necessarily having everything apply to the whole area right from day one. You have it applying to the perimeter areas of the current municipal boundaries, and then you have a certain level of criteria that lets everybody know when these services are going to be expanded and what changes might occur on taxes when those services are expanded. Yes? No, everything that we've worked towards is having two levels of services. And if you have two levels of services, the two primary services that you differentiate on are police and roads. And if you're receiving roads and police from the county, if you're receiving those services from the county, you would not be paying the same tax rate that you would if you were receiving them from the town, primarily because of the fact that you wouldn't be receiving the same level of services. In the county, you're going to have some gravel roads. You're not going to necessarily get your roads plowed as often. You're going to have police, sheriff's department respond when a 911 call goes in. If you're inside the town limits, you're going to have Zionsville police patrolling the neighborhood before a 911 call. So you're going to have different levels of service and different levels of taxation in those two zones.
We have also looked closely and been working closely with the town marshal to try to define, as these boundaries are recreated, when does it constitute more manpower and how much manpower is necessary to meet the expectations within this boundary? And that number has not been determined because the boundaries obviously haven't been created yet. But theoretically, are there any costs associated with the consolidation of this? Or potentially could, depending on how those boundaries come together and whether it's going to require more manpower, more police vehicles, more training, et cetera.
So there was a question about, I believe.
If I understand correctly, what you would be thinking about is developing criteria, and once those criteria are met, you're going to be in the municipal or in the rural, depending on the criteria. The homeowners then would not have an ability to remonstrate against annexation. Is that fair?
That's a fair characterization of it. I mean, the homeowners, one, could ask for those services sooner rather than waiting till they came to their doorstep, or once they came to their doorstep, if it had to do with the density or had to do with the fact that you were, let's say as an example, if you're totally surrounded by subdivisions, then you somewhat lose your rural character if you're a neighborhood. I don't want to use any particular neighborhood because of the fact that it may make someone feel unfairly picked on or left out either way. But yes, that's correct. I mean, it's not an annexation process. Essentially, this process would eliminate the need for any future annexations or the ability to remonstrate. The difference being, in an annexation, for you to remonstrate, you have to get 65% of the people to get your case before a judge. In this situation, the voters will vote on it whether or not they want this plan implemented before it will be implemented.
The whole
consolidation.
The whole consolidation, that's correct. And as a point of clarification, for the plan to be implemented, our recommendation on December 13th goes before the town council, the Eagle Township Board, and the Union Township Board, and all three of them have to pass it for it to then go to the voters, and the voters have to pass it. Behind you, Chuck.
If I understand you correctly, then we look at this from a tax standpoint. If there's an area that's close to Zionsville Village now, that according to the reorganization of urban versus rural, if it's determined that it's within a reasonable plan where the city police are going to cover the area and take care of the streets, that area is going to fall under Zionsville tax structure. Is that correct?
That would be correct, yes.
Okay, so if I, just so people understand it then.
Sure.
If we look at the thing that was published in the paper a couple weeks ago, if you live in Eagle Township, the difference, and you're annexed, let's call it annexed, in Zionsville under this reorganization, your taxes in 2007 versus the new rate for Zionsville are going to increase 25%. If you are in Union Township now and you're annexed into Zionsville, your taxes in 2007 versus 2008 at the Zionsville rate are going to go up 32.5%. That's a fact.
Well, Gene, actually, I don't think that's a fact because, so we can clear the air on this, we cannot pass debt on. Those tax rates are accurate, what you stated, sir. But those tax rates include debt that the town of Zionsville has right now, that Union and Eagle Township have. This is going forward, so there would be no passage of new taxes or tax rates to those of us, for instance, myself, that live in unincorporated Eagle Township.
So does that mean a person who is in, say, Union Township is not going to incur any of the debt of Zionsville community?
That's correct.
That is correct. They cannot.
So what's their tax rate going to be?
We are prohibited from passing on the old debt of any one of the three entities to any one of the new entities.
So would their tax rate be sort of a hybrid between those two?
That's correct. If you look on the tax, if you do a couple of things. One, you can go online and see your tax bill now. It's online as of today, or as of Saturday, I think it was. The actual tax bill from the county treasurer's office is on there now. So you can actually take a look at your actual taxes, and you can compare different homes. And, of course, when you look at the rates, and I've done the same exercise that you've done as well, and so there is that differential. And the differential is related to the services, though, okay? So your first example you gave, if someone is in an area close to the village, and they are now going to get policemen driving down the street and patrolling their streets, and they're now going to get leaf removal and snow removal and so on and so forth. Yes, their taxes are going to be the same as the town taxes for other residents in the town getting that level of services. Okay, Chuck?
Yeah, just two questions. One on this tax issue. It strikes me as being very difficult to add more complexity to the tax structure we already have, seeing as how we earlier or delayed in getting our taxes out now. And so I'm concerned about not passing on the debt and making multiple tiered system for how long it's going to go on, like 50 years, as long as the debt's around. My other question is really more to the whole process. It seems to me the biggest problem we have in the future is the confluence of Perry, Worth, and Eagle Township. And all the issues that go there with the communities that are developing, we seem to have this continuity between development there and down in Zionsville. And so I'm a little concerned when you talk about getting police in the town based on population density. How do you have islands out there with high density? Where does that...
Well, the island area that you're referring to, if it's outside, if it's in another municipality, and that other municipality is not a party to the consolidation, that's that other municipality's responsibility, not ours, or not the new Zionsville.
Okay.
Okay.
Royal Run comes to mind. Where does that fit at this point as an example?
At this point, in the example, Royal Run is in Eagle Township and would be covered under the consolidation. And as you look at Royal Run, it would probably meet most of the criteria that you try to define out for municipal services, except for probably one of the criteria, which is the distance from municipal services. And so that's a, as usual, Chuck, you always pick the toughest examples.
Unfortunately, that's what we're going to see more of, particularly at the confluence of the Eagle area and North Township in that area. And I would suggest that possibly the best solution, and these boundaries were developed, you know, over 150 years ago with the state of Indiana.
Yeah, the boundaries that exist had nothing to do with where people live and work. It had to do with a surveyor at some point.
I-65 wasn't there. We were worried about,
right,
you know, the imaginary canal is maybe trains thinking about this. So it's changed a lot at that time. And I know, you know, with the schools, trying to figure out what to do with growing schools, what schools, so forth. One of the biggest problems I saw was this issue of geographic density and where the growth is. And, you know, I would challenge that we ought to go to Perryville or Whitestown and try to solve this problem out there, what we call the confluence area, where we have multiple entities, multiple townships really working. That, to me, is where the biggest stress is for all the issues for public service, public works, safety issues, parks, schools. That's the nut I think we have to crack and find a good solution for that. Otherwise, we're going to have a lot more problems just continuing. And I see the problem right around Zionsville local here. It's not as great as what we're going to see out there. And I hate to see us solve this problem, although I think these ideas are great and I think it has a lot of merit, but I think we're missing.
And perhaps this new structure allows us to address some of those issues with those groups, with the different townships and governments that are out in that area.
Perhaps, or it may work the opposite. And then we get more bureaucratic, more problems here. If we get bigger on this side and they're smaller, that there's not a good sense of communication with them rolling this together, if we pursue this even further, just my personal sense.
Okay. All right. Do you have anything on the other part of health and safety?
Pretty much everything else under the public service would stay within the county, with the exception of some township services, that being cemetery maintenance, noxious weed control, township assistance, and then property tax assessments would all be reassigned. Property tax assessment, we envision going back up to the county. Township assistance, noxious weed control, cemetery maintenance would fall into the consolidated design tool.
Okay. Infrastructure?
Yes, the board members on the infrastructure committee are myself, Chairman, and Jim Longest, and Jay Parks. And at our first meeting, we had isolated four particular areas to deal with regard to infrastructure. Prepared a four-page summary and report that I've handed out to everybody tonight. I would stress that this is a preliminary report, very preliminary. Mr. Parks has not seen this, and Mr. Longest may not have had an opportunity to review it as well, so I'm sure that between now and the next meeting, we will continue to fine-tune that. But let me hit the four particular areas, road and streets, water and sewer utility service, legal drains, and stormwater quality. Let me take the easiest ones to deal with first, and then we'll save road and streets to the end, because that seems to be the one that everybody agrees, certainly in our committee, and I'm sure finance committee, that has the most impact with regard to where we might be headed as a consolidated entity. With regard to stormwater quality, we don't see that there's going to be any major change between the town of Zionsville and the county as it relates to stormwater management, stormwater quality issues. To this respect, both entities have similar drainage stormwater management ordinances, almost carbon copies of each other. So whether you had a development or project, in the town of Zionsville, or you have one out in the county, most of the same criteria as it relates to stormwater management, as well as storm drainage, are about the same in terms of specific criteria, the things you have to do in order to comply with those particular ordinances, about carbon copies of each other. The one area that I think that we wanted to at least earmark and discuss has to do with those that may be living in the rural area. The IDEM that kind of manages stormwater quality has different rules and regulations for municipalities or those in urban areas as it relates to the kinds of things you have to do to build ponds, other stormwater quality issues. And there may be an effect on those who may be living in rural Union Township or an Eagle Township who would want to come in and build a pond on their 15 acres. If, in fact, it's part of a consolidated entity, the specific criteria on how that could be done and under what specific requirements you'd have to do it from an engineering standpoint would be different if you're within the consolidated entity and it's a city and town versus what they might view out in a rural area. So that's a change. It would probably be a positive change from a lifestyle standpoint in terms of the benefit that you have with regard to water quality, but it would be a change potentially from somebody who would want to think that they've got 15 acres out to be able to go out there and start digging and just build a pond. You'd have to have ledges, you'd have to do a number of the types of things that you'd have to do from a water quality standpoint in the rural area that you would have to do in an urban area or a city or town. So that's one of the issues that I think we wanted to call everybody's attention. The next would be the legal drainage. As most of the people in this room know, especially those in the rural or less than urban areas, we all pay into drainage ways or drainage areas, watershed areas, and we pay by way of a drainage assessment. Those of you who get your tax bills to the extent you're in an area that would, in a watershed area that would be assessed for maintenance, will show a ditch assessment or a drainage assessment on your tax roll. Those are managed by the County Drainage Board statutorily, and they have exclusive jurisdiction over the regulated legal drains in our county, and I've cited in the report the particular statute involved for the Governance Committee to be able to take a look at. Those are regulated, and the County Drainage Board has authority and control, and are managed essentially and maintained by the Surveyor's Office as an ex officio member of the Drainage Board. We would propose, and I think those of the committee as a whole will generally come to the conclusion that those ought to be best managed in the county because that's where they're going to have to be managed legally anyway. So those that would pay legal drainage assessments and those types of things would continue to do so, and that would continue to be managed at the county level and not within the town of Zionsville specifically. As it relates to subdivisions, what has happened over a period of years is that if you come in and you're building a new subdivision out in an unincorporated area generally, the county drainage board requires that a particular drainage assessment be established for the confines of that particular subdivision. If it's a 40-lot subdivision, you have to essentially pay an assessment generally anywhere between $50 to $100 per lot on an annual basis as part of an independent, separate drainage assessment just to handle the drainage structures of that particular subdivision. That is not done within the municipality. Generally, within the municipality, the drainage structures are dedicated, they're accepted, and then the town, through a normal budgetary process, would handle those specific needs from a maintenance or an improvement standpoint or correction standpoint. So they're different mechanisms with regard to subdivisions, but on balance, we believe, I think, and hopefully we've all reached the conclusion that the legal drains themselves, since they're regulated specifically under the authority of the county, will have to be maintained there. That will be a seamless transition, we believe, as it relates to this consolidation, and that won't change. Assessments will still be done. If you have an open ditch or a drainage assessment that you would pay into, there's improvements that are necessary for that particular ditch. That would be handled through the specific drainage fund for the Abbott ditch, for instance. And in my report, I've listed the particular legal drains that we have not only in Eagle,
but in Union as well, that are made up of watershed assessments that are managed by the Boone County Drainage Board and maintained by the County Surveyor's Office. Sewer and water utility service obviously is an issue. Those within the corporate limits of the town of Zionsville have their wastewater needs met through the wastewater treatment plant. Zionsville currently has a planning area for their wastewater extensions that coincide with their master plan area that has been approved by the county, which essentially extends to the east, to their border with Hamilton County, to the north, County Road 300 south, and to the east. I tried to look at that map, somewhere around Kissel Road, that for some reason it didn't extend all the way out to Eagle Township, but approximately about Kissel Road, areas that generally have been developed or continue to develop, but west of that have been, now we see served by Whitestown Municipal Utility Service. And as it relates to what do you do with the unincorporated areas that we now have that will be part of the consolidated area, given the fact that we don't have a sewer plant up on the northern edge towards County Road 300. The plan currently is to put additional wastewater treatment facilities, I'm talking about a plant, on the northwest corner of Zionsville in that particular quadrant. Those are some of the things that are going to have to be vetted out by the legislative branch and the various governmental entities in terms of what they may do from a planning area to serve sewer areas. I think at the meeting that we had, we talked about four different types of areas of concern that may allow sanitary sewer service to be extended into areas that would be part of the new consolidation. One would be the town of Zionsville would extend the sanitary sewer out to areas. There's a cost factor connected with that. There's a timing factor connected with that. There's a logistic factor connected with that. But that is something that could ultimately be done. Currently, Zionsville and the county have an agreement with Clay Regional Waste District that they will not extend their sewer service west of 421, nor will they extend it actually west of 421 as far as Zionsville is concerned, and then south of 300, they're in that area now, but they can't extend it west of 421. Arguably, the town, as well as the county, and Clay Regional can amend that particular agreement so to allow Clay Regional to come into areas that the consolidated entity would want to have them serve if they are willing to serve in those particular areas. Third, we could work with the private sanitary sewer provider and work with them in a quasi-private, quasi-public manner so that we could have public participation with the private provider to create a regional waste district up in the area, unincorporated areas of Union Township and Eagle Township, to the extent Zionsville didn't want to move up in that particular area. But I think we would be quick to add that it ought to be done with a lot of public participation so that we can avoid what we had with regard to Boone County Utilities. So we had public participation from the get-go with regard to that. And the fourth area would be that the town of Westville has a sanitary treatment plant, sanitary sewage treatment plant, that's fairly close to Boone County's borders, just a little south of the airport, but east of County Road, the county line road there, 1200. And there is that potential, and by saying that, I'm not suggesting that that ought to be the case or that there's any reasonable likelihood. We just tried to isolate the opportunities that we might have to provide essential sanitary sewer service to the balance of Eagle and Union Township prospectively into the future. So there are some problems connected with that in terms of having that done, but I think in the end it's kind of a push as far as consolidation is concerned, because those same problems exist now. They would exist when a consolidation would occur in terms of how we're going to get sewer service to promote appropriate type of development, if in fact that's something that the community would want. far as water service is concerned, Biola Water, I guess, serves the area. It goes all the way up to the airport now, up 421. It would be anticipated, since we don't have a municipal water service, that was sold to the Indianapolis Water Company years ago, that Biola Water, or that, whatever name that is now, would be the water provider up in that area. But it does not anticipate that, and we do not anticipate that the consolidated entity would get back in the water business by any means. Fourth would be roads and streets. And we talked about this at the last meeting, so I think Joe Turk may have some comments about this with regard to finance as well. But essentially, the unincorporated areas of Eagle and Union Township, not otherwise in Zionsville, are maintained by the County Highway Department through a funding mechanism that is applied by the state of Indiana that allows them to budget monies for road and street improvements through a motor vehicle highway fund, an MVH fund, that deals and has a specific formula for the county that deals with road mileage as well as population. And I'm not going to go through the specific formula of it. I'm not sure. I've looked at it a long time. I'm still not sure I understand it exactly. But it's a road funding formula that has a component of population and road mileage. In addition, there's a local road and street fund that the county budgets and uses money to collect in to apply to their budget so that they can do road improvements and maintenance. And the local road and street fund is only based upon number of miles, lineal footage or miles throughout the county. If in fact the entity becomes Zionsville, which we're moving in that particular direction, at least we have up to this particular point, we're talking about a little different funding mechanism. Because Zionsville, being a city or town, also collects money through motor vehicle highway funds. But the component and the formula of that, although it's based on mileage as well as population, it's weighted more heavily to population than it is to mileage. All of a sudden now we take in as a consolidated entity Union as well as balance of Eagle. We now have more road miles with less population in that particular area. So I'm not exactly sure what the financial impact will be in terms of funding mechanisms for that. But clearly, and I've looked at this, Joe, in response to an email that you sent me, I'm not sure, unless we got help from the finance board downtown, I'm not sure that there's a way to parcel that funding mechanism out if we're going to have the county maintain certain areas and we're going to maintain certain areas. If it's all part of the cities and towns, it would seem to me we're probably going to have to collect that based upon that cities and town formula and then do a couple of things. If we're going to have different levels of service, which appears that we may from a road and street standpoint, we can do it through an interlocal agreement, take the monies that we receive, and then help and do an interlocal agreement with the county to see if they would be willing to continue to maintain roads and streets in an area that we would designate with the funding mechanism going to them in terms of giving them some money in order for them to do that. If they're not receiving any money coming in, if there's no budgetary amounts for them to go out and do the improvements. So we have to have an interlocal agreement with regard to that. The other thing is, with regard to the more rural areas, we can contract with private providers. It seems to me the most extensive needs out in those areas are grading, especially if there's roads that are gravel roads. Grading of those roads to maintain them, that's generally how you maintain them. Or snow removal. And quite frankly, Zionsville itself, as it's currently constituted, has a street superintendent, has an assistant to the street superintendent, and 6.5 employees currently. I believe by the first of the year that may be going to 8. But the estimates are by the street superintendent that in order to adequately serve at some point the entire area that would be the consolidated area, they would need potentially up to 16 full-time employees. In addition, they would need the type of equipment that you would necessarily need to serve the more rural areas, i.e. you need graders. You need the appropriate type of snow removal equipment. That would be much heavier equipment. one of the analyses with regard to that has to deal with the increased cost that that would incur, not the least of which would be you're going to have to find different people to operate the pieces of equipment, because up to 26,000 pounds will not require a CDL license. Anything over that will require a CDL license. So Mr. Lance was very helpful in providing some of these nuances that we put into the report that would hopefully allow the Finance Committee the heavy lifting and tackling those kinds of impacts that may have from a financial standpoint on the consolidated entity. So I think with regard to the Roden Street issue, I think it is probably something that will not occur by Zionsville having the capability instantaneously to be able to provide a level of service, any level of service out in the rural areas, perhaps, immediately, but could be something that could be worked into over a period of time. Additional manpower, Mr. Lance tells me, will require an expansion of the Zionsville Street Department area garage, perhaps a satellite out in Union Township, those kinds of things. Those are more long-range planning, and I guess what we try to focus on is, from a consolidation standpoint, how do we provide the threshold level of service that are currently being provided out in the rural areas so that that is not diminished in any way, while some of these longer-term needs can be met from a capital improvement standpoint by the town. So that's essentially where we are with the government. Yes?
Thank you, Mr. Andrew.
Yes. What I hear Mr. Andrew always saying, what I hear people talking about, the SOAR saying and everything, is that although you want to reorganize and encompass these townships into the city of Zionsville and tax these areas differently, you're going to be taxing them at higher rates than they're taxed now. But I don't see a quid in it.
I'm sorry, you don't see what?
I don't see anything for the people that are being taxed more. In other words, you have no plan to provide sewage and water. You have no plan or means to take care of the streets. You have no means of taking care of the gravel roads unless you incur significant expenses that you don't have now, which will raise those taxes even more. But the key thing is, you don't have any plans in the works to provide the services that are being provided to the people who are paying a tax rate now that you're going to impose on new people.
Well,
and I see that being a tough sell. In other words, close to the city, okay, maybe the people would agree with it because maybe it's a 2 or 3 year. But I understand, like down in Zionsville Road, the east side of Zionsville Road was annexed into the city of Zionsville. And the people are paying Zionsville taxes. There's nothing even on the drawing board for putting sewer and water in there. And that's the reason some of those people went along with it. There's nothing even on the drawing board. I mean, what is it, 5 years away, 10 years away? And yet for 5 to 10 years, they're incurring a much higher tax rate without the service. I mean, it doesn't seem to me like a logical thing for a taxpayer to accept. If I'm living up near 32, you tell me you want to have a blend of tax rates, and you're going to take my tax rate from, say, $1.97 value last year up to, say, $2.40 or something like that. I'm sitting there saying, what's in it for me? I don't see the board offering the people anything that they don't have now. They have a sheriff taking, protecting them now. They'll have a sheriff protecting them then. They have the county, when they can get around to plowing the roads in the winter and grading them in the summer, they'll still have that service.
I can't help but have to jump in here. If that's what we do, you ought to vote it down.
Well, actually, if that's...
And you would. I would, too. I'd be the first to vote
it down. If the plan looked at what you're describing, it probably wouldn't get out of this committee, okay? Because, I mean, this committee, right from the very start, what you have is you have 6 township members on this committee and 3 town members, okay? And I don't know whether who on the committee you know personally or background or anything else like that, but you know, there's not very many of us in the township that don't specifically look at our tax rates and appreciate the value we're getting for what we have. And we wouldn't necessarily want to move forward unless we felt we were getting good value for what we might be offered later. Okay? So from the scenario you're describing, you know, going from 197 to 240, you know, whether that's accurate or not, just as that as an example, you know, that probably isn't going to get voted on a positive vote coming out of this committee. You know, this committee, right from the very start, said that we were in favor of fewer levels of government. We were not in favor in any new structure that created new costs to either citizens in the town or outside of the town. Okay? So based upon that philosophy, that commitment that we talked about to begin with, is why we've been developing and working on this plan. And I realize that not all the details are on there yet. Okay? And I just ask you to wait till you see more details on just how it might work. That's correct. That's correct. That's correct. Yes. Yes.
Gene, was another one of your challenges when you really start to remove layers and improve efficiencies, I would expect that the total cost for all people to go down some. Because, I mean, you're literally talking about...
When you expand that base and look at the fixed costs and spreading it, you know... Right, right. And those are the details that we're pulling together now, which we have 60 days to do it. Okay? You know, there's nothing that's not on the table. I mean, last week, Joe Turk and I went to the state meeting on local government reform, the Blue Ribbon Commission on Local Government Reform down at Franklin University. And as part of that discussion group, there was some different things that Joe came out of his table discussions with that... you know, that were very, very interesting, and I and you would, knowing you, John, as a neighbor and a number cruncher, you know, you'd look at it and say, well, yeah, we ought to throw that out and throw this out and start over in this area and start over in that area, and we are limited by some of the things we can do, but we as a committee we've said we need to come up with the right vision and the right structure for a plan, even though. It's not out there yet, because it's not. I mean, that's why there's so much discussion about local government reform, because we can't look and say, oh, they're doing this down in New Albany, or they're doing this up in Fort Wayne, or they're doing this someplace else. We are actually sitting down and creating what we think a local government should look like. And when we first got together in a finance committee with several accountants on the finance committee, I mean, there's 9 of us, but there's about 12 other volunteers, we basically scratched our head and said, what do you mean they get their property tax revenue based upon how much money they spend? You know, that's like, you know, me going to my employer and saying we sat down with the family and added up what we spent last year and we projected out what we need for next year, and so therefore I need a pay raise for next year. It's like, no, this is what your pay is going to be next year. Now you figure out how to live within it. Okay? And so, I mean, there's no question that our finance committee work has been from the approach of how to make it frugal.
I think this has an additional benefit, this particular committee, independent of, at least in my opinion, what our ultimate recommendation would be. This ought to be the type of analysis that every governmental entity in the state of Indiana goes through on an annual basis to look at their needs, look at the abilities to save, consolidate, those types of things to try to get not only a better fiscal responsibility, but there are some subjective and control issues that may mean more to some people than they do to others with regard to controlling this part of Boone County as opposed to having that control come from other areas. So while there may not be some immediate fiscal impacts that would be beneficial immediately, maybe a longer term, there may be some subjective and some other control issues that may be beneficial that would get a net beneficial result down the way by the type of development and the appropriateness of the development we may get to help our tax base as well.
Thank you.
May I add one other comment?
Yes, John.
Did you all look at the town of Shaven what they did in Tippecanoe County.
The town of Shadlin and Tippecanoe?
Town of Shadlin. Shadlin was a town, and probably 15 years ago, they incorporated the whole township into a town and operated that way. And they used a lot of cross-link agreements, a contract for schools, some very interesting.
Okay. Thank you, John.
They did, and I'm a little familiar with it, but certainly not an expert.
Thank you, John. I'd like to go to Finance Committee report, please.
Okay.
Joe?
Our job is to figure out what's going to cost each of us, regardless of where you're sitting, which side of the table you're sitting on, all of us that are residents. What we plan to do is to take the existing budgets that have been prepared by the various units. We will then amend them by the changes that are necessary, whether it's an increased cost or a decreased cost. Put them all together, make a calculation of what it's going to cost an individual under the reorganization, without the reorganization. So hopefully when we get through this process and before it goes to the three government units, they're going to have 3 years of costs that are going to say, here's what it would have cost you if you lived in Union and you didn't reorganize. Here's what's going to cost you if you live in Union and you reorganize. So each of us will be able to look at our own situation. To get that done, we need some other information. Now I'm kind of addressing my compatriots up here. We really do need to tie down this definition of town and rural.
What, Joe?
The definition of town, what's going to be town, what's going to be rural, and how's it going to work, and how do things move in the future? Key issue. It drives two major costs, policing and roads, and it also affects the transfer of assessed value between the two. So it's a big number, or it's an important issue that we need to get at. So I would just look to my left and ask Gene to put assign it to one of these committees to get it going. We got to get it done. Okay, then I'll get off of that one. Governance, once you decide how we're going to govern ourselves, then we can put some cost to that. We know what it costs today. We know what it costs in each of the townships. We know what it costs to operate the town council. Well, once we have that, we'll have that number. Health and safety, we've really got that almost complete except the law enforcement part. You heard Steve tell you that. So, Steve, we need to, once we get rural, we can put that one together.
I'm there.
Infrastructure, primary thing here is road maintenance. Mike tried to kind of hand me that football. I really don't want it. We're working on it, but I don't have the answers. But let me tell you what we're doing. We know that there's a possibility that the funds that we collect for all the reasons that he told you from the state may be different. We've got a consultant that we're not paying, but he's working on our committee, and he's really good, looking at what we can do to maximize those funds for our entity, whatever that is. You know, maybe it's just how we call or how we define ourselves. I'm not sure, but we're going to do that. There are these two formulas, so we want to find out which one of them benefits us the most, and can we use it? And then we'll probably, as Mike said, this is really his committee, but I'm just repeating what he said, is that we won't expand that responsibility to the Zionsville department, street department, because they don't have the equipment, they couldn't get ready in time, it's a completely different world, it's probably not a smart thing to do. We won't do it. So what we will do is probably contract with the county. That makes the most sense. They've got all the equipment. They've been doing it for years. Or we could use a private contractor, or we could do both. I think it makes sense to bring the money in here, the income, and then pay a subcontractor as opposed to just leaving it the way it is. At least we have some control over the money. So I think that makes some sense. Land use, we already know that's revenue neutral. and Parks and Recreation. We now know that's revenue neutral. So, at this point, we have some thoughts on how this is going to work out financially. So I have to put one big caveat out there and say, you know, we don't have all the numbers yet, but we kind of know what's going on. And I really think that the tax rates are not going to be materially affected in the short run, with the exception of those communities that may become part of the town. There could be a change. And there would be a change. I just don't know the extent of it, but you'll know it. And we think that because what we're really trying to do is to keep down the cost, keep the services exactly as they are in the urban area, in the rural area, excuse me, and therefore keep the cost down. The biggest expense that we could create would be to think that we could take all the services that currently exist in the town of Zionsville and flush them out over that large area. Well, we'd kill all of us. So we're not going to do that. But we think that's going to happen. Now, there is no, I mentioned this about two or three meetings ago, and the gentleman in the back brought it up again, and hoping, but there is no big short-term efficiency. Just not there. Townships don't spend any money, virtually any money. We have all the same services, with the exception of policing and roads. It's just not there. The effect of scale is longer term. And it's there. If we do it right, we can have some scale. We're going to have, if we don't build, another single project is approved in our area, we're going to grow at 5% a year, just with what's on the books right now. 5% a year. We have the fact that this town-rural concept allows us not to put services out there before people need them. And so we have that control. And we have the ability of scale as we grow. So this committee, unfortunately, can't control it. We're not the elected officials who are going to be making the decisions. But at least we can put the structure in place where good management could hold down the tax rates, and that's what we intend to do. So that's kind of the way it looks. Short term, no penalty. Long term, putting together a system that'll hold costs down. Okay, property assessing. Currently that's split. I mean, Eagle has a full-time, we have a split situation in Union. All those bills are paid for by the county. They're responsible for it right now. Our recommendation is to simply give the responsibility to the county for maintaining the records and for doing the professional appraisals, which they do anyway. I mean, they do that now. We would recommend, again, that everything would just be transferred to the county assessor so we don't spend any more, we don't gain any more, actually. But in order that we keep our fingers in the pie a little bit, so to speak, we want to have our new planning department responsible for notifying the assessor's office by sending in a building permit, when a building permit's issued, by sending in an occupancy certificate when that's issued, to make sure everything gets on the books. And then in return, we would request quarterly information from them that says, okay, so we can check it off, okay, this house was built, this house is occupied, it's been assessed, it's on the rolls, and also to give our reorganized government a look at what the NAV value is. So in the event that we can't get a law change, which I'm going to get to in a minute, they'll at least have an idea of the effect that their budget is going to create to the taxpayer, which I don't think they have right now. So here's a couple of ideas that we'd really like. These aren't critical to our reorganization, but they'd be nice things to do. There's something called the maximum levy. And all that means is that any taxing entity can only raise by a certain amount. I think it's 3.7% this coming year. And that seems like that's a good deal, right? We all like limits, but that is, I think, maybe the thing that makes running a government the hardest thing there is to do. So here's why. First of all, the simple one. If you're growing, you're limited to this 3.7%. Well, you can't do it. You're growing 15%. Pick a number just so you can see the magnitude of the problem. You can't keep up. So what do? Well, you borrow money. You use capital when you shouldn't use capital because that's exempt from this percentage. You might do some funny accounting, all sorts of things that end up costing the taxpayer because you're just trying to get the service to him that he needs, but you can't do it because of this max levy. So it doesn't work there. But it also doesn't work when you're shrinking or when you have a nice opportunity to save a couple hundred thousand dollars and everybody is going to spend to the budget and to the levy. Why? Because if they don't, they've lost that money forever. So they just do it. So it's an awful system. And we'd like to see them, instead of trying to cap expenditures, is to cap the income side. If you cap the income side, doesn't make, there's plenty of money when you're growing. Let's say by doing that, let's say you cap what each individual taxpayer pays, let's cap that at 3.7% a year. Now you've capped the income side. You haven't hurt the growing community. You've indicated to the shrinking community that doesn't have as much money anymore. So we just think that's a whole lot better way. And then last thing to this gentleman's point on the right, we really came to the conclusion that you should redo those geographic limits of basic of adjoining government entities from time to time. And we'd like to see that considered. We'd like to, right now we have a template that's served Indiana for a couple hundred years, but it's getting in the way. Because you've got all sorts of annexation going on, and the limits, lines are blurred, and you've got three different agencies from three different governments serving in an area. It's just confusing. It seems like you could go trade. We thought about that the other day, just a simple example. But if you had a new highway built and it went down through some farmland, and I had a farm on one side and I lost a little triangle of about 30 acres and it was all the way over on the other side of the highway, and my fellow farmer on the other side had the same thing happen to him, it wouldn't take us very long at all to sit down and say, let's trade. I don't want to take my tractor under there or over it or helicopter it over. And you'd get it done. We don't seem to get that done in government, so we'd like to have somebody look at those from time to time.
Okay. Any questions on finance?
Yes? Consolidated entity will be able to levy the tax fees?
I'm sorry?
Will this new consolidated entity be able to levy the impact fees?
Yes. One of the discussions that I'm not sure was our last meeting or meeting before last, was that the impact fees, both in building and parks, would be...
Road and parks.
I'm sorry?
Road and parks.
Road and parks, I'm sorry, would be applicable to the entire area.
That currently does not exist in Eagle or Union, only within the confines of Zionsville.
Right.
So those would be additional revenues that would be raised by development that would occur subsequently. We'd have to pay those fees, as you know.
One of the things, a comment on Joe's report as it relates to the net assessed value, the NAV that he referred to. Right now, I think the NAV, or the net assessed value for March 1st, 2006, came out like August 1st, 2000, or no, maybe September 2007 or something like that, a year and a half later. Okay, so here's local governments are looking at their budgets, trying to pass budgets based upon what their expenses are going to be, and not knowing what the tax rate's going to be, because they don't even, it's like, well, we don't know what our net assessed value is being, and there's absolutely no reason
none whatsoever, that the net assessed value that's now being done on the database system that the county has can't be reported out on a quarterly basis or a semi-annual basis. So that schools, libraries, fire territories, towns know what the net asset value is, you know, as of June 30th, instead of waiting until a year and a half from now knowing what their net assessed value. And I think that would make a consolidated government or any government, even an existing government, would give them an opportunity to make better decisions about their expenditures so that they're not presuming that their net asset value is going to be one thing when it may or may not be. So, last report, governments.
Well, our governance subcommittee consists of myself and Kevin Schipple from Eagle Township, Alan Rachels from Zionsville, and a couple of gentlemen who graciously volunteered their time, Tom Peterson and Scott Alexander. I really view our work as just beginning. The goal of the governance committee is to take these respective written work products and try and combine them into one document that at the end of the day we're going to call a plan of reorganization. The statute that authorizes our committee to even be studying this issue also provides what a plan of organization can contain. Certainly doesn't mean it can't contain more, but our goal is to take these different plans, do the best we can to comply with this statute so that anyone and everyone who's voting on this really has a good understanding at the end of the day what they are and are not voting for. I heard someone ask, at least I wrote it down earlier, how will we govern? Our governance committee isn't touching that issue and isn't really commenting on it. Our governance committee right now is operating under really just a couple of assumptions, and that is that this new entity, these new geographic areas out in Eagle and Union are going to consolidate with what is now the town of Zionsville, so we will have one town of Zionsville. What we're doing then is going to the Indiana Code and seeing what the powers and authorities and duties of a town are and making sure with these different committee reports that we're really fulfilling all those services and all those essential functions that a town is supposed to fulfill under Indiana law. We're not deciding whether Zionsville should become a city and have a mayor. That's not the role of this committee, and that's not something we're looking into. If that's something Zionsville ever wants to do, that's up to the people who govern and are elected to govern the town of Zionsville. I mentioned a couple of assumptions. At least what governance is looking at right now is that this new entity and the functions it will serve are proceeding under the assumption that we will eliminate the office of the Union Township Assessor, the Eagle Township Assessor, I'm sorry, the Union Township Trustee, the Eagle Township Trustee, and the Eagle Township Assessor. So I know you've been asking about efficiencies all evening. That's certainly one area where we think we'll find some. But part of our plan of governance and the reorganization plan is supposed to clearly set forth who in this town of Zionsville is going to serve those functions and how they're going to be fulfilled. So that's our challenge in the next 60 days is to take these different plans and put them into one, make sure we have plans that comply with Indiana law. I will tell you just by way of example, when we were working on the Parks and Recreation Subcommittee, one of the issues we wanted to look into is when there was a parks board, if we could actually create a system whereby different geographic boundaries would be represented. We could assure that that would be the case. And now that our parks subcommittee has actually looked at the law, I'm not convinced we can do that. The statute that governs how a parks board is going to be appointed for a town says that the requirements are that it's going to be appointed by the legislative body and it needs to be filled with people who are interested and knowledgeable of parks. And those are the kinds of things we're trying to be incorporating into the plan of reorganization. Doesn't mean that geographic representation can't be a consideration, and we all, I think, hoped it would be. But could we write a plan of reorganization that requires that? You know, I'm not sure we can. So, but those will be the kinds of things we try and look for all of these components and make sure we put a plan together that
At the end of the day, it complies with what Indiana law requires for the governance of a town.
Thank you, Alan. Any questions for Alan from the committee? From the audience? Yes.
Yeah, you mentioned that the Eagle Township Assessor would be eliminated, that position. What about the Union Township?
Well, we do not have an elected assessor in Union Township, and it's my understanding it's because of our population differences. When you get above a certain population, you elect one. Now, the functions are fulfilled, and part of our plan of reorganization would be to have something in there that makes sure those functions are fulfilled by some entity, whether it be at the county level or it be within the town of Zionsville. But we do have to make sure that they're filled. For example, you heard earlier, one of the things we talked about at Parks and Recreation is that we'd be responsible, or maybe Parks and Rec would be responsible for manning all the cemeteries out in the townships. That's something that our township assessor takes care of now. It's something she's required to take care of by statute, so we have to make sure our plan, according to this statute of reorganization, transfers those functions to a new office that will remain after the consolidation.
Yes?
I would challenge the assumption that you couldn't create a plan not to allow for a representative from the various areas. And that's kind of falling back on the existing law. That was one of the points of this committee, was to find creative ways to operate. And so at a minimum, I think that's fine. I'm just using the parks example. I'm sure there's other areas where you can create policies or recommend policies that we can improve on the current legal system.
And that's a very good point, because one of the things that we've looked at is if we have a good idea and we think it makes sense and it's very applicable to our situation, we're going to include it in. Even if the attorneys on board find some specific reason that it can't be, because of the fact that as part of any reorganization, the legislature has not envisioned where we're going. And essentially, we have a task then of communicating with them that if they really want us to do a reorganization, and this is what our vision is, then they need to maybe be addressing some of the issues even further, such as like park board representation. Because as an example, you know, when you look at the geography, Union Township represents 50% of the geographical mass that we're putting together. And if you look at parks and recreation, I would think that there's a wealth of resources from a land standpoint and a natural beauty standpoint in Union Township that Eagle Township doesn't have. And so it's a much more logical place for parks or rural equestrian areas or different things of that nature. So I would certainly think that it makes sense for very significant representation from that area as well. Yes?
I have two questions. One, assuming that this plan moves forward to citizen vote, is your goal May to have it voted on? And then secondly, if that is the case, is it you guys, your board, that's going to educate the public, and is it going to be your responsibility to let everyone know, or is it going to be the town council and the board, and have, do you have a plan for how you're going to educate the public on this, all these issues?
I think we're done December 13th.
That was the deal.
I think the first rule of being an elected representative is to form a committee. Yeah. And let them do some work for you.
Or committee.
To go to your first question from a timing standpoint, this committee addressed timing at one of our meetings, and we decided that the timing of the vote to the citizens was beyond the scope of our responsibility and beyond the scope of our authority to dictate what that might be. We did make a decision that we wanted to have our decision made by December 13th, because as we looked at the timing, I think it was governance looked at the timing and said we had to have things filed with the clerk by March 1st or March 31st. Or
60 days before it would go on a ballot.
So that makes it March 5th.
First part of March.
First week in March. Which means if you have to have something filed with the clerk's office the first week in March to have it on a ballot in the spring, then that means that we have to have our recommendation to the bodies. They would have to take January and February at most, deciding whether they wanted to do it and what it's going to look like put it on a ballot and then communicate it to the citizens and so on and so forth to have a vote in the spring. We decided that we would get our work done so that if the governing bodies wanted to move forward at that pace, then we wanted to be able to accommodate that. There is another thought and discussion that there is not going to be a significant turnout of voters in the spring, and this is an important issue, and that perhaps the general election in the fall would be a better time for citizens to come out and vote on it. And that's all well and good, but the problem with that then becomes the fact that if you pass the reorganization and you need to have new representation on the larger enhanced town council, then you would have to have a special election in order to elect those individuals to be on the expanded town council. So either way, as our committee decided we needed to get it done in December to allow for either event after that. And I'm not sure there's an easy answer to either one of those, because another aspect of it that our governance committee pointed out is that because 2009 is the year before a national census in 2010, that we can't make it effective in 2009. So it was like there's a couple issues at play here. On your second issue relating to how it's going to be communicated to the voters and so on and so forth, this committee stands ready to communicate with the boards and with the town council in any aspect of the plan that we put forward, and we certainly would be willing to varying degrees to support that communication process to the citizens as well. Yes?
What requires a referendum?
The House bill that we're working under requires a citizen vote on the reorganization plan. We vote on it as a committee. Our recommendation then goes to the town council, to the township boards. They vote on it. Once they vote on it, then it goes to the citizens if it moves forward. And there is one other provision, too, that we probably won't address at this point, but if one of the town boards or the town council votes against the recommendation, there is an opportunity for citizens still to resurrect it and still put it on the ballot, I believe. Yes, Alan, you were about to say something.
I was going to say, Michelle, I've got a short memo idea a while back that discusses the timeline that I'm more than happy to share with you. There's nothing in the statute that gives this committee the authority to tell any of the legislative bodies when they have to do anything. In fact, I think there is a provision in here somewhere that says that after our committee makes a recommendation, if the legislative bodies have taken no action within a year, we can at least then come back and ask for a decision. But the statute requires the legislative bodies to have at least two open meetings and conduct what's called one public hearing, where people from your districts or areas and Union and Eagle are invited to come and listen. So our goal early on was to get our work done as quickly as we could so you could then do yours.
Yes, Chuck.
What happens in terms of the different governing bodies if they have changes? Is your proposal fixed and they have to go with that, or how do they interact to make any changes?
Is it an all or nothing deal?
Yeah.
Or can the governing bodies make some changes to them? Alan, can you address that?
Good question. The answer is yes, they can. One of the things the legislative bodies could do is review our plan of reorganization, because that's really what they're looking at and working on and studying from, and vote it up, vote it down, or send it back to us and request modifications, which if they would, one of them would do something like that, it would actually require us to get back together, consider the modifications, and then reissue a plan yet again that would go out to all three for consideration.
The same time periods would start over again in terms of the kinds of public hearings and those kinds of things that would be necessary.
Correct.
Yes. Now, one of the things that I will add to that is the fact that since there's three members from Zionsville, three from Eagle, and three from Union, those three members have, from each of the entities, have been in communication with each of their elected appointing bodies to make sure that, you know, if there's something that you don't like, speak up now, because we're not going to be going down this road.
I'm just curious what the process was.
Yeah.
Although I think that the fairness is that the public hearings may bring up issues that
sure.
people haven't thought of.
Sure. And that's why we welcome the public to be at these meetings to ask questions of that. I mean, we need that because we've been going along addressing all these issues and so on and so forth, and we're now putting them all together, and the questions are very helpful. Yes, Kevin?
Sort of this is new business, but I'm picking up on Joseph. I agree. I think we need to, as a board here, come to some way to handle the service areas,
okay.
is what I'll call them. Having looked at this a little, given it some thought, I don't know that the seven of us here, the nine of us, are all that educated on it. I guess I'll put it that way. And I think this is an area that we may need to get the consultant types to look at and help us with to quantify those. I can think of a few examples in the way that governance has existed. The Lexington, Kentucky established service areas when it went to a consolidated form of government. I believe Louisville is doing the same. But we really need to quantify those. And I know we've talked about two service areas up here. My vision is actually three.
Yeah.
I think, Mike, you...
We talked about that.
In and out and in between?
Well, you know, as I sit here, I would call one government service area Z, the existing Zionsville, and then EU1 and EU2.
EU2 has a tent, and that's it.
but having said that, I mean, we can sit for all day and postulate what they might be. I just think this is an area where, absent someone bellying up to bar, here it is, that we really need to get some guidance.
I don't think Joe can do his, the Finance Committee can do its work until we have that issue resolved.
Correct.
So
I think that's
true. Sooner the better.
Put Joe on the Finance Committee.
Are you using three primarily driven by the debt situation?
Well, again, as I sit here and think, I mean, you and I, as reasonable people, everyone I think would say, well, you could probably do it by the density, the existing Boone County plan, you know, R1, R2, R3 areas would be X. On the other hand, distance is an issue. So there are, with the Eagle and Union Township, some areas or pockets of what would be typically R1 density that because of other unrelated to the density issues, it makes no sense for them to get service at the same levels. And so
I agree.
That's why I struggle with just two service areas, because if you do two, so not say it can't be done, but if we go there, we have other hurdles to clear, which this gentleman's right. We've got to look at the cost aspects.
Well,
it's not going to be long term.
You can't have pockets. That's a bad thing. Or islands.
That's why I like the smoothing the edges. Where I'm left with it is, I don't know who, what, how, but we do need to look at that, and that needs to be done pretty quickly for us.
Well, let me suggest that the Finance Committee reach out to some outside sources to provide them with the issues we've been discussing as far as what those criteria would be, and see if we can get some outside thinking on it then.
And I think just, if I may, Mr. Chairman, just in addition to the Finance Committee, if any individual board member has any thoughts,
please.
or without any pride of authorship, let's get them on the table and get them to Mr. Turk on behalf of the Finance Committee so that those things can be mulled around and we can engage in that discussion. I hate to get another month down the road and we have different thoughts okay. about how these service areas ought to be encompassed, and then we're finding that out at that particular point in time. And to me, it makes sense, theoretically, the devil is really in the details in terms of service areas, and not only how do you initially start them, but how do you convert them, and what does it take to convert from one service area to another? Okay. Now, maybe by definition alone, that will tell you how to do that. But
okay.
I think
Mr. Turk shared a memo with myself as part of a discussion we were having on police and safety, and he shared it with Steve as well. And what I'd like to do is I'd like to give us 1 week. For each of us to give Joe a paragraph back on thoughts as to whether there should be two or three areas of service, and what are the criteria and factors that you see impacting those areas. And the Finance Committee will put those thoughts back together to see whether there's any, what different or new ones are coming up.
And picking up on what Kevin said, I think it's not only a good idea to try to articulate what the service areas might be, but I think it's good to go to a map.
Yes.
And then try to draw.
Yeah.
In addition to articulating what they would encompass, but also, okay, well, where are we going to put them preliminarily?
What do they look like geographically?
Yeah, geographically.
Okay. And then we need every member's feedback within 7 days. Okay. And then within a few days after that, we'll do a compiling of them to get it back out to you. And at the same time, we will seek outside consult for feedback on how other entities have done it and how this could be more thoroughly addressed if we're missing pieces of it. Okay. Anything else? Yes. Mr. Curtis.
A simple question on permitting. How do you foresee things in the county permits like septic? Is that going to be within?
I didn't mention that. It's in my report, but as far as septic is concerned, septic permits are a function statutorily of the Indiana Health Department of Health, which in turn assigns those duties to local health departments. We don't see that will change. That's the way it is. You come in at Zionsville right now, and you went and got a septic permit, you have to go up to the health department. So I'm sorry, I didn't elaborate on that, but as part of the report, that'll be a seamless transition. Those responsibilities statutorily have to stay there, and they should be there. And of course, as more areas develop through sanitary sewers, the less requirements we'll need for septic, but out in the areas that won't see that for a period of time, they will still have to get permitted.
Are building permits on
the design of the planning?
Building inspectors as well. Yes, Ms. Essie.
I had a question for Mike that's something I've been wondering about. It has to do with sanitary sewage treatment plans, and you were talking about how clay is going to serve a certain area and Whitestown Utilities has a certain area. Once those lines or agreements are put in place where Zionsville says we're going to service up to such County Road 800, is that where the IURC comes in and says, I mean, who regulates that or oversees it that, you know, that clay waste doesn't go any further than what they're
supposed to? Alan can chime in on this a little bit because I know he certainly has a good handle on this, but the IURC won't necessarily regulate Zionsville establishing what their sewer service area might be. If in fact you've got an entity that is Zionsville, they have the ability to serve that from a sewer standpoint to the extent that they, you know, it's cost effective for them to do it. They've got the ability to provide lines and plants, and let's face it, a lot of this occurs at least in terms of pockets occurs when the development community comes in. They a lot of times have to upgrade certain things in order to make those things occur. But I don't think it's an IURC function specifically, but perhaps Alan can elaborate on that.
Well, I only have a limited amount of knowledge on it because I've been forced to litigate it a couple times, but there's not an easy answer to the question. When you do have a municipality that has clear boundaries, there's territorial rights that come with that.
Right.
What the greater challenge is when you're out in rural areas where you have municipalities or regional wastewater or sewer districts approaching from opposite directions, because typically when you start one of those, you're required to go in front of the IURC and get what's called a certificate of territorial authority that at the time you're established says, here's what your boundaries are and where you can serve.
Right.
And then as you grow, you can expand beyond. And when people run into each other in the middle and somebody says, well, those customers are mine, I was here first, and somebody else says, well, you've been sitting on your duck for 2 years and haven't done anything. We're here now, we're going to serve them.
Right.
And we want the customers, and by gosh, they want us. Those usually end up in front of a judge somewhere saying who gets to serve, unless the entities can work it out themselves.
Judith, one of the reasons we have proposed in the report different options on how to provide sanitary sewer is for too long. Things have been out there, and nobody's really paid any attention to it. But it's an issue that needs to be paid attention to, because it's not just a development issue, it's a public health and safety issue too. The ability to be able to not have septic systems but be put on a municipal or good functioning sewer system, not to suggest that septic systems don't work or they haven't worked well, but I think generally, to the extent we have failures out in the rural areas, there are failures on some of the septic systems that may be old. And so I view it more as a public health and safety issue in terms of how that's going to be done. And it also goes hand in glove with how and under what circumstances we're going to get the type of development that will also help our tax base in areas that would be appropriate to handle that kind of development. So without those essential services, we're not going to get the kind of businesses that would necessarily be helpful to our tax base, such as commercial and those kinds of businesses.
Thank you, Mike. Our next meeting is Thursday, November 15th at 7:30 p.m. Are all members here expecting to be here for that meeting?
I will not.
Okay. Yes. Everyone else?
Yes.
Michael? Yes. Kevin? Yes. Steve? Yes. Jim?
Yes.
And Alan?
Yes.
Thank you. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So I have two requests. Everybody who produced a piece of written work product, if I could have it emailed to me in Word.
Okay.
Mr. Chairman, to also mention that, it would be helpful if everybody could email it to me as well, because I think these written reports we're going to include verbatim in our minutes.
Okay.
Because we're getting to the point now where we're putting some meat on the bone, and I'd like to include those written reports. Even though they're preliminary, we will indicate as such, put those written reports in our minutes.
Okay. So if the members that did their reports tonight need to clean up any typos or anything, and before they email them, that's fine too.
That's governance will use this as at least the foundation for our reorganization plan.
Okay.
And I don't know who was kind enough to bring that neat map in the back of the room, but it might be beneficial to all of us to have a copy of that, if that's possible.
Is that your team?
Yeah. That is the Boone County Planning Commission's meeting at the high school Thursday night. Or part of it that I cut out and blew up. No, I asked for it. And there is one on our website, but it doesn't lend itself. And I did get one from the fire chief, and it doesn't lend. It's in black, and I was trying to get the colors reversed, and you know, the format wasn't right and stuff, so I just took that one and cut it and put it up there. But I will get something together and electronically get it to you.
I think that'd be helpful to all of us, yes. Especially as we discuss this zone issue.
Yep. Yep. You're right. I will, and there are zoning maps on the area planning commission's. I'm sorry. The area planning office. There are zoning maps in PDF format.
Did you get that from them?
No.
I was going to say, that's already got the new Whitestown annexation on it.
No, that came from Structure Point, the company that's doing the meetings on, what you call it, but it does have the new Whitestown areas.
Because we don't even have our zoning maps up there.
I know. That's why when I saw that one, I'm going to cut that one and paste it and blow it up. So sometimes cutting and pasting at a copy shop is just as easy as electronic stuff, or more effective anyway. Was there anything else? Yes, Mr. Curtis.
Just one question that's more of a philosophic question. This Eagle Union Township is larger than the Carmel Clay area. And you're growing a city that's rivaling Carmel in terms of size and so forth. My sense being here for 20 years was that people wanted to keep us a small community. There's a lot of ways to do that. So I guess my only concern is, you embark on this process, do you have a clear sense of what Zionsville wants to be? That's all. I'm not going to tell you. I don't know. Mm-hmm. But that's just a question. I know with the schools, we had that habit issue.
I wanted to respond to you by reading you something that...
our mission
statement. That's exactly what I was going back to.
Does anybody know
back to
Carmel, all of the school structures are within the Carmel city limits?
They are Carmel Clay, so they're within the Clay Township.
and that is outside of the general city limits.
It is. They're trying to get it all, but right now it's outside, yes.
Chuck, let me respond by this. Our mission statement is offer the citizens of Eagle Township, Union Township, and the town of Zionsville the unique opportunity to study and explore efficiencies in governance which will preserve the heritage and quality of life of those living in Southeast Boone County. What we're doing is more a matter of, it's not a matter of expanding government as much as it is a matter of expanding the boundaries and preserving what we have.
That's an interesting question.
Yeah, it is.
I mean, it's a juxtaposition between two.
Sure.
Things almost diametrically opposed, but anyway.
Exactly. But I mean, this committee and the discussions and everything that we've had have been all around the basis of the fact that how can we have a better government structure to preserve what we have, not to become something else. So, thank you. Is there a motion to adjourn?
So moved.
The Colts just scored at 7-0.
That's all?
I move to adjourn.
End of the first quarter.
Start.